I'm Geth.
Oh, it's me, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I'm Princess Ariel.
And I'm the Blue Oyster Bar.
And nobody needs to spoil any introductions at all this time, because we did it all ourselves. Welcome to Lethal Watching.
Professionalism, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Jeepers creepers,
it's what we bring to the table.
Jeepers, oh.
I meant to suggest this week that we should be like professional and see our names when we start the show.
No,
all right.
You see, what we could do is
my finger tastes like blackcurrant paracetamol.
Okay.
Anyway,
you see, we could have lied and said that you're actually in Australia. Hence the delay, but that would mean you'd have to keep it up for the rest of the podcast.
It's the internet. There is no delay. It's instantaneous.
That's right, Martin. I'm in Australia.
You should talk backwards.
Do you want to play a didgeridoo, mate?
A lot of people have probably turned off now.
That was hard.
So then,
that was hard.
How are you? Guy?
Good to the maximum. Yeah.
To the max.
To the max.
Yeah, good. I'm quite proud of the video I put on the website this week.
Did Phil do a video?
I did do a video.
Oh, I never have known. It's very good, actually.
Quite made me laugh why I put "you know my name" over the top of it, because does anyone...
Hey, can you feel the irony, Martin? Can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
Irony.
Can you feel it?
Irony.
Irony. That's like wearing a shirt saying vintage 1972 and you're 5.
Yeah, that's irony. It's like rain on your wedding day.
It's not even irony.
It's good advice that you just don't take.
It's not irony.
You know what is irony?
What is it?
What?
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, because he's Iron Man.
Because he's Iron Man. Anyway.
This is the best podcast ever.
What is this episode about then?
We're going to kill some cows.
So this is about films.
Yeah. Films that people like, films that people kind of, you know, look back on warmly, and we're going to kick them in the nuts.
So.
Would that be accurate?
Yeah. Well, it was another Ben Thomas suggestion, wasn't it?
Yeah. He did suggest Aliens as an example, but that's just too ridiculous to join this podcast.
Yeah, it's too ridiculous.
You're not going to come on this podcast and say that Aliens is a bad film. Oh no. That ain't going to happen.
The thing is, I can't even play Devil's Advocate because although he can't be with us at the minute, you know, we would like to try and fill in his side of the argument. I can't see one.
Argument? What?
It's just stupid.
Anyway, but what we should probably explain. Essentially, what he suggested we do was we talk about films that were something that people consider to be like amazing and unbelievable and like up there. But when you watch it, you're kind of like, oh, it's not really as good as I remembered it. Mm. And he said Aliens, and therefore it's clearly crazy. But then we thought of other films that are actually accurate. Yay!
So what's yours then, Jared? Go.
Well, okay. So am I starting off?
Power. You are now.
Go. Boom. You probably guessed it from what I said at the start, as is the supposed point of what we say at the start. But anyway. Okay. Well, I'm doing Police Academy. Which I've talked about before at some point many months ago. The second one, was it? The Steve Guttenberg special?
Steve Guttenberg special, yeah, because, you know, you can't talk
best
about...
Best episode.
It was the best episode. To the max.
To the max. Police Academy, which I think I talked about it at that time, but I'm lazy, so I'm talking about it again.
Well done, Jared. Well done.
Well, my Police Academy is held up as one of those, like, amazing 80s sort of comedies. Like, Steve Guttenberg's probably breakout sort of thing. Definitely Michael Winslow's breakout thing.
Wait, hold on there. What did he break out into?
Police Academy, the TV series.
Of course. Sorry, yes. You're right. Continue.
So, yes. Anyone else who was in Police Academy, it was their breakout movie into IMDb.
Kate Capshaw. What's her
name? Capshaw? You mean Sex and the City lady?
Yeah, her. What's her name?
Jack Jones in it too, isn't she? At one point.
Do that though, because she had more of a hit with Mannequin.
True. Oh, indeed. Yes. Yes, Martin.
And Big Trouble in Little China, don't forget.
Also, you could say, is going to be similar to what I'm talking about now, anyway. But essentially, what I'm talking about is...
What are you talking about?
Well, it's Police Academy 1, but it is essentially, it's a running joke that goes throughout the series, but it's essentially that Police Academy, it's incredibly homophobic.
Really?
It's extremely homophobic. Now, it was made in the 1980s, and some people may say, well, it was a film of the time, and that's okay. Yes, it was. It was made in the 1980s, and the 80s were very different to now.
They were amazing.
Yeah, they were amazing, apart from...
The rampant homophobia.
which is just something that appears in so many films of that time. I may as well start. I said the Blue Oyster Bar. As my name at the start, which is essentially...
You do realise that music's been in playing this whole time during this segment.
It's good music. It's not gay music, so...
Not at all.
It's
dancing music.
It's ongoing. The Blue Oyster Bar is basically... It's in about three or four of the films. I guess it's up to in the fourth one. And it appears in each of them. And it's always about people going into this... it's like, they're just... There's just so it's the stereotypical gay of the 80s is what I would put it, where, they're bikers, all leathered up and dancing together and very camp. And it's all about people getting lured into the Blue Oyster Bar as a way to make them, to sort of annoy them and sort of, give them a bit of a what for a chaps. It's normally Mahoney who instigates it, but I think he's actually one of the ones who gets into it in the second film. But it's the stereotypical gayness of it, where they're so camp, they're leathered up, and
with the mustaches. Don't forget the
mustaches and all this. Now, I don't know if anybody ever went to gay bars in the '80s. Gay bars are awesome, right?
Jared, how old were you in the '80s?
No, I didn't go in the '80s. I went.
How do you know what gay bars in the '80s look like then?
There's
devil's advocate here.
there's a gay bar that was in Belfast called the Kremlin, and everybody went to the Kremlin at 1 o'clock because it was late and still served booze. And it was awesome. And everybody went. And it wasn't even, it was a gay bar, but nobody cared. Everybody just went. And so clearly they've just got wrong in the film. There was no partying. There was no like awesome booze and funky music. What was going on? It was crazy.
I do remember like when they walk into the bar, it's like the stereotypical, everybody kind of looks to the person walking in kind of scene.
Where are we kind of thing. Everybody kind of like, you know, bums to the wall sort of thing. You know, but that's what it's like. Everybody kind of goes, "Uh-oh," you know, as if they're going to be gangbanged.
I know it's not us. It's
mean. That's essentially what they're saying. But the worst bit is that throughout the film, they continually call people fags and all these other things to basically, you know, as an insult. And I remember watching it. I watched it there not too long ago, maybe a couple of months ago, and I was watching. Uncomfortable and was kind of like, this film is kind of this is kind of really like putting me off Police Academy.
Yeah.
That this is such a not even an occasional thing. It's a continual thing throughout the whole film.
It's that frat boy humor, isn't it?
Yeah. It really annoyed me watching it because it's a film that I loved. And now, kind of, if I was to watch it again, would have the same thoughts. Would just be like, it's really unnecessary. But, you know, again, people may say, well, that was the time. And it's actually something, have you seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
No.
It's actually something that they joke that, because it's, you know, they go back to the 80s. And it's something they use as a bit of a joke that sort of, you know, calling people gay and all this kind of stuff is like a, you know, an insult and things like that. But it's just it happens too often for it to be kind of like, oh well, you know,
you let one or two slide, but not continually
all the time, and you're just kind of like, oh man, it really annoyed me because it was a film that I loved, and I suppose, you know, if you took out all that, if you had an edited version where that's not in it, you would have a film that would be a lot shorter, but. You know, it might be acceptable, but it doesn't exist in that form. It only exists in the one that there is.
I think I just realised, you're talking about this, that, you know, a lot of the Police Academy characters, they basically hit every stereotype, don't they? You know, they've got the black character, the ladies, the big strong guy. There's no gay characters who are on the police side, are there?
No, none.
And you'd have thought, you know, there was at least one.
Sweet Chuck. I don't know. I had doubts about Sweet Chuck, but
him and Zed.
Well, not Zed, but just Sweet Chuck. Anyway, you know.
I can see them sharing, like, you know, in like, you know, for 40 years time, they're kind of living in San Francisco and kind of sharing, you know, park walks and stuff as like a little nice couple. That'd be nice. I can see that. I can see that.
Couldn't think of anything to say, so I just made the noise.
Like Zed does in the film.
Exactly, but that sort of humor, that sort of type of humor that they had in that time, it you know, Martin mentioned Mannequin. You know, there's the overtly, you know, camp gay
the assistant
guy. Now the only thing about him is he reminds me a lot of Gok Wan. So
yeah, definitely.
And Gok Wan is someone who's about now. So I don't know if I can really knock that much, but yeah.
I would say I wouldn't say that ridicules gayness, though. I just think they were actually quite ahead of the times, really, to have
possibly,
like
possibly, but it's just to show the OTT-ness of it. But I mean, the worst thing, the worst offender in Police Academy is when they just call people fag all the time for like an insult. You know, it really put me off. It's really made me realize that Police Academy 4 is the best one.
What I find interesting as well is obviously the past few years everybody's been trying to bring back 80s franchises and trying to get new spins on. From what I know of, Police Academy is the only one that was big in the 80s that hasn't been touched.
Yeah, it's actually a surprise. It is quite a surprise. I think
like either a reboot or a remake or
Mission to Moscow.
Drinking, that was it. That was the killer shot in the back of the head.
They just killed it to death.
I have to say, though, Martin, if you go to Wikipedia, there is Police Academy 8, 2013.
Oh, no, really? They
hasn't
are doing
that been
it?
Sat there for ages, though? I'm sure when we did the Steve Guttenberg special, I'm sure it was rumoured about there and he was going to do... No, that was the third Three Men film, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, Three Men and a...
Wait, 2013?
And a colostomy bag.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? That's... Three Men and a colostomy bag. What a great title.
I doubt that'll happen, to be fair, because it's next year and no one's heard anything about it so far and we're halfway through...
No, no, Martin. No, no. It could still exist. It may just be shit.
Come on, Three Men and the Colostomy Bag. That was a great joke.
Police Academy 8 is on question marks in IMDb. So
have I gone to mute or something? Am I check?
No.
Hello. Three Men and a Colostomy Bag
in rewrites. So
three Men and a Colostomy Bag because they're all old. Hello.
It's alright, Jared. I'll do this.
Hello.
Nice one.
Have any of them had major bowel surgery, Phil? That's the question.
Well, in the world of the film, we'll find out.
Okay. Three Men and a Zimmer Frame would have been maybe more apt.
No, Three Men and a Colostomy Bag, because it keeps the, you know, little lady kind of, you know, the bounce of the woods going, shut up, Jared!
It's lethal watching!
So that's why I now hate Police Academy.
You hate Police Academy. You know what I hate?
What do you hate?
Disney films.
Oh, what?
Oh, yes. I don't really hate
crazy him. Fool. You be some sort of crazy motherfucker.
I don't really hate him. But what I don't like... Okay. Disney films. Good, yeah?
Awesome.
Good Disney films. Yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll remember in the 80s, Disney was basically dead, yeah? It was like on its knees, rubbish. Yeah. And then they kind of came back in the late 80s with The Little Mermaid, and they started making good films again.
Yeah.
We'll remember that. Yeah, good. Yeah. What... I don't really like... I like those films, that period, but I kind of don't like them. And what I don't like about it is the Broadwayization.
Music?
The show tunifying of the Disney films.
Ariel, are you okay? If only I could make him understand. I just don't see things the way he does. I don't see how a world that makes such wonderful things could be bad. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure. She's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's it's and what's it's galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see... Wanna see them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a, what's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun. Wandering free, wish I could be part of that world. What would I give if I could live out of these waters? What would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? Betcha on land, they understand that they don't reprimand their daughters. Bright young women, sick of swimming, ready to stand, and ready to know what the people know. Ask them my questions and get some answers. What's a fire and why does it, what's the word, burn? When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love to explore that shore above all?
putting in the music.
Putting in the music by getting kind of, you know, music and lyricism from Broadway kind of West End style shows. And then it becomes like a West End show rather than being musical.
Can't wait to begin.
Are you finished? Do you want to do a bit more or?
But I can do more Lion King if you want. Some Little Mermaid, a horse, some Aladdin. You know, it's up to you.
I'll just put you on mute if that's okay, so I can talk without being terrified of my own, you know, mortality.
It'll still record me.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's that kind of, you know, like when people are singing, but rather than kind of emoting the song, they're acting. You know, you get the feeling like people are really kind of acting the lyrics. They're kind of acting this part of the song. I don't really like that. And there's a lot of that in those.
I want to see where the people are. I want to see, them dancing.
Sorry. Yeah, that's exactly the bit that I meant.
Cool.
But do you not feel that it's like musical? I mean, how are your feelings towards musicals in general?
I like musicals. But I think there's a difference between like a Broadway-style show and a musical. Because the songs are kind of almost not separate from the story, but they reflect the story. Whereas with like a Broadway show, the people are kind of walking around doing stuff, singing, you know, I'm tidying up this kitchen now, look at me doing
Disney
the
Disney always had songs in it.
So I know, it's a different style song, though. It's a different style song. It's the Broadway-style songs.
Song of the South.
But I don't understand, because most musicals I can think of are kind of Broadway style-y in that they do things and they sing at the same time. Take for Grease, you know, Sound of Music, all those kind of things. They are doing things at that time and they're singing along.
I do agree that this is a very kind of objective, subjective, whatever the one is that I mean, point of view. Because
you're an object.
You're a dickjective. Yeah. Have that. It is a very kind of thin line, I think, between musicals and Broadway. But I think they did it in Little Mermaid, then it became successful, so they did it more because they kind of think that works for those films. But if you compare something like The Aristocats to the later films, you know, The Aristocats isn't kind of a Broadway style; it's just a musical. You know, the songs just kind of come in.
It's funny because Aristocats is one of the films that I don't like from Disney, which is
funny. I love The Black Cauldron. Nobody else does, and they're stupid.
What are your feelings towards Enchanted?
Enchanted.
I really like Enchanted.
Come, my little friends, as we all sing a happy little working song. Merry little voices, clear and strong. Come and roll your sleeves up, so to speak, in pitchin'. Cleaning crud up in the kitchen as we sing along. Trill a cheery tune in the tub as you scrub a stubborn mildew stain. Pluck a hairball from the shower drain to that gay refrain of a happy working song. We'll keep singing without fail, otherwise we'd spoil it. Hosing down the garbage pail and scrubbing up the toilet. Ooh, how we all enjoy letting loose with a little la-da-dum-dum-dum. While we're emptying the vacuum up, it's such fun to hum a happy working song. Ooh, a happy working song. Oh, how strange a place to be. Working tune to hum while you're sponging up the soapy scum. We adore each filthy tour that we determine. So friends, even though you're vermin, we're a happy working dog. Singing as we fetch the detergent box for the smelly shirts and the stinky socks. Sing along. If you cannot sing, then hum along as we're finishing our happy. Isn't this fun?
You like it?
Yeah.
Because that's That's by the same people who do Little Mermaid, and obviously it follows exactly the same traits as all the Disney cartoons.
Yeah,
maybe it's a... Here's my bum. Wait. I'm going to try and force it back out of my bum now.
I did some 80s comedy there.
That's awesome. Maybe it's the fact that it's in live action, and they can kind of... You know, the acting of the characters is better. Does that make sense?
Because obviously, of course, Amy Adams is the new Lois Lane. So,
Yeah, no, don't get on to Superman. We can't afford another hour podcast.
Everything goes back
to Superman. Yeah. Yes, I understand. Maybe it's the fact it's done with live action characters. Then that's the key thing, because
you're a live action character.
For God's sake, all right, Jared. I'm just trying to talk and have a discussion with Martin. Why do you have to ruin it so?
I'm going to stop now. I'm going to mute myself. Hold on.
Please do.
Oh, wait. No, I muted you.
You muted me.
I don't know. I'll just shut up.
Yeah. Maybe it's the live action aspect of the Enchanted. You know, the actors can, I can cut with them more than I can with the animation, because maybe it's like the stiffness of the characters, even though they're animated well. They're not kind of acting as much as a live-action character is. Maybe it's that that's kind of caused me the problems with those films.
Okay.
But I do enjoy them, but I just like... It's that style of song that kind of grates with me a little bit.
It's funny, because I'm trying to think of a Pixar movie which has, like, similar elements, but I can't name one. I mean, the closest, really, is Toy Story, who just have, like, the odd song here and there. Yeah. But even right, then, foot, the characters there, don't sing
foot,
it. So.
Right, foot.
So I can't really justify that. But I suppose it's controversial what you say, but I suppose if that's not your thing, that's not your thing, really.
Yeah, so. This is probably like, you know, Jared's one is just, you know, homophobia, which is wrong. Well, mine's just like, I don't like Broadway songs.
You don't like music.
I enjoy music. Although, to be fair, I would say that the greatest musical ever made is South Park, the movie. Of that.
God has smiled upon you this day. The fate of a nation in your hands. And blessed be the children we who fight with all our bravery till only the righteous stand. You see the distant flames, they bellow in the night. You fight in all our names for what we know is right. And when you all get shot and cannot carry on, though you die, la resistance lives on. You may get stabbed in the head with a dagger or a sword. You may be burned to death or skinned alive or worse. But when they torture you, you will not feel the need to run, for though you die, la resistance lives on.
Wait, Canada! Wait, Canada!
Because the country's gone awry, tomorrow night these Brits will cry!
Tomorrow night, our lives will change. Tomorrow night, we'll be entertained. An execution!
Where babies birth and flowers bloom. Tomorrow night up there is doomed, and so I will be going soon.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Pagan. You're a bona fide bastard, Uncle Pagan. Looks like we may be out of luck.
Tomorrow night we're pretty fucked.
Why did our mothers start this war? What the fuck are they fighting for? We did this song become a marathon.
I want to
when Canada is dead and gone, there'll be no more Celestia.
Then I cut your dick in half and serve it to a pig. And though it hurts your life, it's a dickless cheek, but that's the way it goes. In war, you're shot upon, though you die.
I want to
lie as it starts, love it all.
Oh, I disagree. That Animal Park, that's really...
South Park.
South Park. Yeah. Musical. I thought you said Animal Park for a second.
South Park. That's a different kind of musical. That's a sexy
South
musical.
South Park.
Yeah, that's a great musical.
I'm surprised you chose that, especially over... Well, the better one was Team America.
No. As a musical, South Park holds together better as a musical than Team America does. That's fact. That's undeniable fact.
So this is where it boils down to. You're just not into like the stage shows kind of musical kind of aspects then?
Yeah.
Because you chose South Park over things like Grease.
This is weird, because I enjoy listening to, you know, I wouldn't see Wicked, and that was a hoot. I enjoy a good, you know, stage song. But when it's done in those kind of early Disney films, there's the Disney Renaissance period, they just really stand out, and they just kind of like, great. Because none of the songs are quite as good as, you know...
Like the songs by themselves? As in, would you freely listen to songs from the Aladdin soundtrack?
Probably not.
Oh, wow.
Maybe if, you know, the Peter Andre version of A Whole New World.
Oh, fuck that shit.
Yes! Gotta rise out of Martine. Success, Doyle. Success.
Jesus.
Oh, Katie Price is a princess. We all know this.
Yeah. Princess of shit.
But it's tricky. This is a very subjective one, I think. But I think the style of the song is different from the kind of classic Disney period of, you know, Jungle Book and that kind of era.
Look for
what this is probably going to be my last question, and you're probably sick of me asking questions.
No, go for it. It's better than Jared randomly singing at me.
What are your feelings towards the 60s Disney films, which does have the songs in, like Mary Poppins?
Well, Mary Poppins is a classic. You know, that is undeniable. So I enjoy those. But they don't feel Broadway to me. They just feel like musicals.
I like Broadway. Broadway's fun.
Broadway is fun. I'm not kicking Broadway in that. So I'm saying Broadway plus Disney. I'm saying Broadway plus Disney plus late 80s, early 90s equals...
You should own Disney.
I should own Disney.
That'd be awesome.
Their animations would take a bit of a change. Let me just say that for nothing.
You should own Disney. Where the hell did that come from?
I think Jared's got some form of concussion. That's the only rational explanation.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah, so that's me. So I'm taking Little Mermaid out of the ocean and deep frying her and saying, no more singing, Ariel.
I wouldn't eat that.
So far we've had Police Academy for its logical reasons of homophobia, which is entirely logical and entirely agreeable. Then we've had something of an objectionable, maybe controversial one with yours.
Yeah.
And I think mine's going to be similar. Mine's going to be very controversial.
How controversial is it going to be, Martin?
Quite controversial.
On a scale of zero Star Wars, to isn't it? Michael
it's
Jackson.
It's not Star Wars, no.
Lord of the Rings.
No.
Superman.
You know what? It'd probably be easier if I just say it. Actually, no, I won't
Back
say
to the future.
It. I'll fill it in for you, okay?
Gremlins.
Oh, tell us.
Tom Hanks.
Okay, I'll tell you the title and then you'll fucking shut up.
The Verbs.
Blade Runner.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, no, he didn't.
And the call.
Now! let me qualify what I mean by that, okay?
No, no qualification.
I will. Now, I first...
So why are you just being a hipster?
I'm not being a hipster, seriously. But I first saw...
Do you have Blade a moustache?
This is going to shock you. I first saw Blade Runner about 5 years ago.
Well, that's the wrong time. You should have watched it now.
Now?
Why now? That would have been worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You'd like it.
Well...
That argument makes no point, Jared. That makes no sense.
It doesn't.
It does.
So moving on.
It doesn't make any sense.
It does.
Just ignore that. You're well within your right to ignore that, Martin, and move on.
Yeah. Moving on. I saw this about 5 years ago, and obviously...
Which version?
Fuck knows.
Yeah, which version? Getting into important details, Martin. You have to quantify it.
We'll come to that in a second, actually.
All right.
5 years ago, obviously, I was looking forward to seeing it. Everyone was absolutely raving about it. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a good film. It's a good film, and certainly the art and style of it is gorgeous, and the whole effects spot on. You know, this is a beautiful looking film, but it's like there's no substance there. Like it just like peters and meanders along and fizzles out to nothing, really. I mean, it's a good film, but I don't think it's anywhere near the greatness that people are giving it. And to be honest, it's a good film, but it wouldn't make my top 10.
Now, tell me this, Martin. Tell me. Okay. How did you watch the film?
I watched it on a TV.
Where?
Where? It was on a Sunday at night. I was wearing trousers.
But where were you?
Here, home.
Was it in your bedroom? Was it in the main house? In the living room?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Is your computer next to your TV or near your TV?
Yeah, fairly.
Were you on your computer at the time?
No.
You're lying. You are lying to me.
What does that matter anyway? What's your point?
Well, it does matter, because if you have Blader on, or you have a film on, and you're not watching it...
Oh, no, I am watching it.
No, if you've got your computer on, and you're on your computer, you're not watching it.
But he said he wasn't, Jared. Your argument makes no sense.
But he's lying. Yeah. You can tell.
He's not lying.
Okay,
he's
do you want to know why I was lying?
Yes, go.
I acquired the film, so I was watching it on my computer.
Ah!
Okay. But I have actually got the DVDs now.
No, but... Yeah. Oh, but you don't like it?
No, I bought it cheap for £3. It's one of the special...
Can't say fairer than that.
No,
special
but,
collection, which has all of them in for
so
£3.
So when you acquired it and you were watching it on your computer, were you also on a web page?
No.
Well, how could he watch it on a web page?
Yeah.
You can have it in a little corner.
No, why would you do that? Why would you do that? That makes no sense.
Because you're Martin. And that would explain his reasons, Phil. You're supposed to be backing me up.
Yeah, but I will. Jared, you know I've got your back. But your line of questioning is like some kind of rambling alcoholic. It makes no sense.
No, I just...
Literally makes no sense what you're asking him.
No. The rationale behind me was because I think Blade Runner is one of those films that if you're going to watch it, you need to actually be... focused on it completely. Whereas a lot of people nowadays, when they watch films, and I do it too, you know, I watch a film, but I'm maybe
hypocrite.
My phone out or, you know, the laptop open. And, you know, I think you lose a lot of the impact of some films when you do that.
The thing is, I think a lot of the impact's lost with Blade Runner in the sheer fact that there's five different versions with five different outcomes from what it sounds like. Everything's different. And it's like, what the fuck's going on? Surely, if it's a logical film, the film should essentially have the same plot running through it. Even the different Superman cut, even though that's completely different, it does have the same plot running through the film.
Everything comes back to Superman.
Exactly. I just find so many people talk about it and talk it up so much, and it's not worth that. It's a good film.
Do you know, I still have to watch the... is it the work print, which has the narration... Is it the work?
I think that was the first one I had.
I haven't watched that one now, but I've watched. Well, I bought the steel box set one, which had all the different ones. So the one I obviously watched was the final cut one. So I haven't seen the other ones since then, or since before then. So the last one I watched was the most recent one, the final cut one.
Yeah.
I was like, this film's pretty awesome, man.
It is weird, though, because Martin's opinion does seem to be like, if you read the reviews at the time, a lot of them were kind of saying what Martin says.
So we need to leave Martin 20 years and still watching episode 1 gazillion
Martin should probably like it by then.
He might like
it. Yeah, I know.
I think at the time, the only version that, you know, when it was released was the one with the voiceover. That is, kind of takes
was
a lot of...
Was that actually released?
That the original theatrical version's got the voiceover from Harrison Ford.
Right.
And because he was essentially put in there by gunpoint by the studio to do it, he's kind of talking like this through the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's kind of drags the whole film down, which I think that kind of affected it, you know, more negatively than anything else. But I think the versions after that have got, you know, they're a bit, it's a really good film.
You would lose a lot of the ambiguity as well with
That's the thing, it's kind of hammering points on the head, which is a horrible thing. Yeah.
See, the thing that I want to do, I've actually got the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is obviously what the film is based on. I've got that on my shelf, it's ready to go. And from what I hear, the book is a lot better, obviously, than the film. Obviously, that happens with a lot of these films. So yeah. I'm actually keen to read that, see what I make of that, because I probably love the book.
I bet you will, Martin.
Mm.
So is it like the Harrison Ford kind of dragging it down for you? Or is it just...
It's not.
Kind of
I love Harrison Ford. I just find that this film just meanders along and doesn't go anywhere, you know, and is all... Yeah, I like ambiguity to a point, but it just feels that there's so much in this film that it's really not needed, you know? And like I say, the style-wise is lovely, and I love the whole settings, and I love... Because obviously I'm a big fan of sci-fi, as you know.
Really?
I love the aspects of it. Yeah, you wouldn't think... You did.
Yeah, you really like Star Wars, don't you?
I really like Star Wars.
And Andromeda.
With Darth Picard in it and all that. Yeah, he's really cool.
Yeah.
Have you watched Andromeda?
No.
Neither have I.
Was that the Jim Henson one with the Muppets?
No,
that was Farscape.
Yeah.
And Roddenberry's other show.
Yes. I remember that being on Sky One.
Very done after he died.
It's got Kevin Sorbo in it.
Hercules.
Anything with Kevin Sorbo in is grade A amazing.
Like Cull the Cronker.
Oh, yeah.
So are we all in agreement then?
No.
Blade
Runner's amazing.
It's good.
It's really good.
You see, when was the last time you folks watched it then?
I told you about like a year or two ago.
I watched it before then. It was on BBC Two not too long ago, wasn't it? Whenever it's on, I watch it. Because, you know, I really enjoy the ambiguity of it. I enjoy the Harrison Ford, I think, you know, is quite underrated in it. I like the whole thing hangs together for me. Rutger Hauer's amazing, clearly.
And he made that speech up, man.
He made that up on the goddamn roof.
He's like the... What's his face?
Herbert with a shotgun.
No, he's like that other actor. What's his name?
You got to narrow it down a little bit.
He's the Marlon Brando of his day.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
No, I'm generally just saying because Marlon Brando made up that Apocalypse Now thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I can make stuff up.
Yeah.
No, really?
I should be an actor.
maybe you should, Jared.
Anyway, moving on.
Okay, so is there any more? Obviously, they're the main ones. Are there any more kind of films that you look at that you think?
Well, you know, I could have spent
Baby.
A good...
Rosemary's Baby. I don't really get Rosemary's Baby.
Well, it's a baby that's the devil. What's not to get about it?
I don't really get why everybody loves it. I kind of watch it and I go, it's all a bit of shit, really, isn't it? Run away.
Is that literally what you say when it finishes?
Yeah, it's like shit, wasn't it? Stupid. Run away. What's your problem? And clearly, they're all mad. Run away.
Yeah. Well, I could have spent, you know, 20 minutes kicking John Hughes in that, as well, you know.
Yes.
True.
You know, Ferris Bueller, don't get it. Shit. Breakfast Club, don't get it. Shit. John Hughes, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this really comes down to personal tastes at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, some one man's treasure is another man's rubbish, really. So.
Exactly, yeah. I agree with that.
Feels in your bins.
Like, you know, everybody hates the core, but I love it. You know, that's my treasure right there.
That's your treasure.
Yeah.
You love the big whales.
I'm going to watch that tonight. I love the core.
You see some awesome hacking, computer hacking,
man. Oh, yeah. Best.
Is that your phone?
Best film ever. So what lessons have we learned then? So it's basically don't be homophobic. Stay away from show tunes.
Yeah.
And
Blade Runner's off.
Blade Runner's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now imagine if they had Broadway tunes in Blade Runner. Oh yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Now that, you know, I could get behind.
You know what they should do? Like the five versions of Blade Runner, kind of do like a choose your own adventure thing.
They did do that. It was called the Blade Runner game.
Oh, that's a good game. That's a good
don't
game, actually.
Ridley Scott more fucking ideas to do another cut of it.
Oh, Ridley Scott here. I'm gonna do another Blade Runner.
It's Ridley Scott. And I think what this movie needs is some black goo.
Oh,
God. Actually, let's take some bets. How many cuts
of Prometheus will there be? Although there will most definitely be an extended director's cut version
they
or whatever.
They pretty much really confirm that. They surely confirm that.
Director's cut, an extended director's cut.
Anniversary
edition.
Final
anniversary edition.
And then the George Lucas special edition, which will...
The George Lucas remix.
Yeah.
Misa, this is black goo! Misa, go touch this black goo! Oh, Misa, die! What happened?
Good podcast.
So, what's happening next episode, then?
Christ knows.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben will tell us.
Ben will tell us. He's like the fifth beast.
Education dungeon master.
Yeah.
I was going to say the fifth beetle, but it's only three of us. So, the fourth beetle?
Ah, so he's Ringo.
He's Ringo, yeah.
I now agree his name should be Ringo. We should refer to him as that forevermore.
Great. Does that mean we're doing Thomas the Tank Engine next week?
Yes!
What, the film?
Yes!
Oh crap, there is a film, isn't there?
Yeah there is. Oh, it should be the Alec Baldwin Dark Special.
Oh, well, that would be interesting because I watched The Shadow yesterday.
Oh, that's it then. We need the third one for like his really bad films.
Any film he did with Kim Basinger?
Oh yeah, film with Kim Basinger.
I'll just do all of those ones.
He's a surgeon. You ever seen that one?
No.
Oh, he's a surgeon. I can't remember what it's called, but he like threatens to scoop someone's lungs out with an ice cream scoop. Mm. It's one of the best Alec Baldwin speeches you'll ever see. But the film's actually all right because of it, which is kind of annoying. Malice. I think it's called Malice.
Alec Baldwin.
But yeah, Thomas Tank Engine, The Shadow, and another film.
Come on, one with Kim Basinger.
Nine and a half weeks. The Getaway. Memory.
Is The Getaway that Baldwin? Is it a different?
Yeah,
Baldwin?
The Getaway. It's rubbish.
Yeah. It's the remake of the Steve McQueen one.
Yeah, one. It's terrible.
There we go. The Dark Alec Baldwin special. Because he is the greatest actor ever lived, isn't he? I'm not lying there. He is, like, amazing. Am I wrong?
You might be.
But I don't know.
Glengarry Glen Ross, he's phenomenal.
Which is funny, because we're not doing that one.
Yeah, we're doing when Alec Baldwin goes bad.
Oh, man. Apparently he's really good in 30 Rock, but I've never seen it.
He is quite good in 30 Rock.
Because
I believe he's actually just playing Alec Baldwin.
In other words, he's a bit of a dick then, is he?
Yes.
And he's tweeting.
Oh.
Man, Alec Baldwin's old.
He is old. How many Baldwin books?
Still, he's even older. Tim Curry. Man, Tim Curry's old.
How many Baldwins? 34.
37.
About that. I think they kind of duplicate every 3 years.
They regenerate.
Yeah. So it's all the same one.
There's one called David. He's actually in Prometheus.
They get everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so that's what we're going to do next week. Screw any kind of other plans. The Dark Alec Baldwin special, because I love Alec Baldwin. Agreed?
Yes. Peace out.
Yeah. However, it may change.
It may change.
Yeah, it will change.
Well, it will change. So we'll
see that.
Yeah. So sorry. Good podcast.
Yeah, mental podcast.
Peace out.
Yeah. Not yet. I'll check website and stuff and our Twitters and things.
Check the website. Check Phil's video. Phil did a video.
I did a video. My video is fucking amazing and you know it.
It is video.
It is.
An Asian guy in it.
out there.
She can spot them.
Do you know how long it took me to kind of source all the footage for that?
1 year.
Pretty much. Because I've got it in my notebook. Where's my notebook? Here's my notebook. I'm going to find the page now where I first thought of this idea.
You've actually done some really good timings on there as well. There's some really good scenes with where it times with the song very well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it does.
It's called Fluke. They used to happen in the videos I did. They were...
No, to be honest, there's one fluke that just kind of got there randomly, and that's the one with the head.
Mm-hmm.
May the 11th, 2011, I had that idea.
Oh, my God.
Wow, really?
I was correct.
It was. So I had to download 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 films.
Sorry, and that was off 5 minutes. This took you a year, and you really want to be a WWE promo maker.
I mean, obviously, I'd have easier access to the footage, wouldn't I? So I'd be able to work quicker. I wouldn't have to acquire everything without going over download limits. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
I heard you.
You heard me. Yeah, so, and email us at lethalwatching@badeducation.com if you want to talk to us, because no one talks to us anymore. Just here alone in the shed. Got a leaky roof. And we haven't got anything to eat in the shed.
There's rice cakes.
There's bats in here.
Eat a bat.
Not even the crime fighting one, just normal bats.
Eat them. Eat the bats.
I don't want to eat the bats. They're horrible.
This is sounding like, I don't know why, but have I heard this conversation before between the two of you?
You dreamt it, Marty.
Yes, you dreamt it. Yeah, you did.
Way off at Spanky Monkey.
Yeah, you do that. I'm going to go as well.
Yeah, I need a poo.
Thanks, Jared.
Beautiful.
Bye.
Don't do it in the shed again, please. Go somewhere else this time.
Yeah, I've got a bucket.
Oh, God.
You might call it a bat later on so you can eat it.
Don't you want hungry, Phil?
Oh, God. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We're ending on eating Jared's poo, as always.
Lethal Watching was brought to you by Phil Doyle and Gerard Boyle.
I'm Martin Gobain.
In association with abadeducation.com.
'Cause right, we're going.
Right, are we going?
I thought you were going with your beatboxing. Well, thanks for the level checks there, Gerard.
Testing, 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 testing.
Who's been what?